Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you join us, and we have a good evening set up for you. The second hour, our guest will be Frank Chile, and he always brings a lot of interesting experiences and a lot of good information, so that's what you have to look forward in our guest hour. And as we begin tonight, Angel Sue will set the tone for us, and then also draw an angel card to see what is to be our focus for the week. So, Angel Sue, I pass the talking stick to you.
Thank you, Marita Robert. And we welcome you all in the light of the most radiant one to Stargate Roundtable. This is where the light of God that never, never fails is blessing us. And we're calling in the office of the Christ. And only in the office of the Christ, we are invoking the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame to bless us all. And so with this, just remember yourself. Remember that you are the divine child. And you can call in your support team now. All your guides and masters, teachers, angels, councils of light, your higher self and your beloved twin flame. And all those that celebrate your path here on this earth, you're walking us into a new paradigm with your thoughts, with your intentions. And with this, we're going to look on the inside first as we breathe in on the in-breath more unlimited divine love. And on the out-breath, sharing gratitude with everything and a blessing. So intend that now to happen naturally. Then look from the top of your head right down to the bottom of your feet. See what you find. Whether you call it out of balance or not so good or, boy, this is getting better and better and better. All of it, we're going to celebrate it for 90 seconds with the high-frequency words of praise, respect, thanks, and love. And I will time this for you, and we can begin now, and I'll mute out. Excellent. And then we're going to think about the people in our lives, those that we claim, those that are family, those that are friends, associates, those that we're aware of, what's going on in the media, online, the news, NACARA, the Reformation Act, our White Knights, Faction 3 level, and ourselves, the whistleblowers included in this also, and the media. So all of us that are working to bring about this new paradigm, the white hats, the dark hats, everybody. Let's praise, respect, thank, and love their path as well. So with this divine neutrality that we can hold, 90 seconds again. I'm muting out. This is excellent. Now think about your concerns, what's going on in your life, the situations, and all those that you are aware of what's going on for them. And then we're going to call in, through the Law of One, all the beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, throughout all dimensions, that are tied in with these things. And here we're going to call for the perfect, divine, happy solution. And so with this, we welcome them all in the light. And we are saying to them, we are all one. And when one is harmed, then all are harmed. And when one is helped, then all are helped. Therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, we ask that only the highest good of all concerned happen here, and we can walk in peace and grace, health, harmony, happiness, at one-ment with all. And we give thanks that this is done, and we're closing off this part now by saying, all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. Thank you. And with this, Marita Robert, I ask you to just be our surrogate.
Okay.
And we'll draw three cards for the group to do energy work on our own time throughout
the
week. Or
if there are people that don't know what we're doing here, Angel Sue is very proficient with the angel cards, and it is a way of doing a reading for individuals or for a group. And what we are asking for here is maybe a focus for our Stargate Roundtable family, what we might look at this week or what we might focus on in order to have a happier and maybe more a joyful world, as well as individual happenings in our own life. So she's asking me to tell her, you tell me when to start, and I will give you a stop.
Okay, and Marita, that was a beautiful explanation. So let's start for the first card.
Stop.
You got the middle again. All right. Now, for the second card.
Now.
That was towards the back. And where are we going for our last card?
Now.
The gift. Whoops. Okay. Oh. These are interesting. Okay. Now, this first card, this is just a simple three-card layout. And this first card represents now, throughout the end of the weekend on Sunday, what focus we can hold. And it's a card with a path that is winding into mountains. And there's a huge golden sun shining down. It's known as the card of purpose, my reason for being here. So, on the back, it's a nice little guidance. State your own declaration of what you have come to do. And I suggest that you just find some quiet time each day and look into your heart to see what your purpose is for that day. So between now and Sunday night, we can hold that guidance for our purpose to come even more clear of our reason for being here. Second card will be the remainder of next week until we meet again on Thursday night. And it's a gorgeous night sky, lighted up by it's a full moon shape, but there's a burst of light sparkles coming out everywhere. And it's the card of white light, the end of the tunnel. On the back, the guidance is, the purest white light I have ever seen now shines before me. And my heart desires, with all of its being, to join with the light, and we become one. This, to me, is opening up to our divine self, remembering ourself with the light, and following the guidance that it gives. So, Sunday night, or Monday through Thursday, wherever you want to draw that line, that's the place where we should put our focus and our thoughts. The gift is the last card, the gift that will help us facilitate this mission that we're taking on each week. And this is a card with a beautiful infinity sign that has light coming out everywhere from it. It's the card of attraction, also known as materials drawn to me. The guidance on the back is all the resources I need to do my work as a celestial being on Earth are being drawn to me. I am magnetic. So, if you choose to take this mission, you'll be able to understand what your purpose is even higher, clearer, and expanding for Thursday through Sunday. Monday through Thursday, it's the white light coming to you even more than ever before. And the gift to make this all happen is attraction. Whatever you need will be drawn to you magnetically. The materials that you need will be there. So with this, we are asking for this to come to us subconsciously as well as consciously, to keep it going with our intention. And we're calling in the guides, the masters, the ministering angels to expand this and perfect this beyond our understanding. And I give thanks that this is done with all of you participating as Owati, one with all there is, Owati. Marita Robert, thank you. I passed the talking stick.
Wow, I think that's one of the best readings of, I mean, what more could we ask for to fulfill our purpose or whatever it is we're doing? That was a great gift, I guess I would say.
This is the third week we've been working on this together. And I am finding my meditations to be really blessed and powerful. And I hope that this expansion will just keep on rippling out and becoming bigger and bigger for all of you.
And I want to mention also that Angel Sue is available to do readings for people if you wish to connect with her. She accepts a love offering for them and would be happy to do that. And why don't you give your email address so they can connect with you?
I will. Thank you very much. And realize that when there is a yearning for some guidance through cards like this or the tarot cards or intuitive aspects, it should be so that you can have it no matter what your circumstances are. So don't hesitate. And my email is Angel Sue. That's Angel Sue without an E at bellsouth.net. And I will get with you as soon as possible.
Thank you so much. And I do want to, while you're still on here, remind everyone that BBS is so ahead of all the technology. They are giving us so many gifts, and you may dial in on the phone and listen to the call at 605-475-1600, 605-475-1600. And by next week, there will be something more that we will be able to do. It'll ask you if you want to listen to Station 1 or 2. We are on Station 2. So that's a gift that that they're making available for us, and we are so grateful for all their love and support. So thank you, Angel Sue and BBS, and we will now pass the talking stick to Rain Bird, who will help us understand the energies for the Mayan calendar. It'll be interesting to see how the Mayan calendar energies fit in with what our angel reading here is. So that'll be an interesting correlation.
And I think it fits in pretty well.
Good.
Yeah. Today we have a Stargate day. It's the yellow electric Stargate. So that means it's a 3 Lamont. And so there you go. Pretty exciting for that. It's electric. It's visionary. Electric being the 3-tone activation. And Lamont being the Stargate, which is a visionary aspect. And it's about the illumination of humankind and opening the Stargate. So I think that's appropriate. And its gifts are pioneering and pioneering spirit. And then having the power to see beyond the gate. So let's do that, and it's a good time to let go of dissonance and self-doubt. So the Stargate energy is today, and tomorrow is a portal day or a seasonal day, and it's the Maluk, the moon. So we call that the red self-existing moon, and that's how it's referred to. So self-existing being that 4-tone. And the moon is the Maluk. So, and it being a portal day, that makes it, or a seasonal day, makes it more powerful with the dimensional interactions, interdimensional interactions. So, powerful day that way with that moon energy. And it's really working it with an artist aspect with the moon. It's about the wise use of rational mind, accepting spirit direction. So listen to those voices in your head for their guidance, and be open to your contact with spirit and your guides, and remember remembrance of your task. So this is in line with those cards as well. What is your purpose? So that moon energy is bringing that piece up as well. Universal mind is your mind. Use your telepathy. Let go of any insensitivity or attachment to omens or self-doubt. And pay attention. And follow that guidance from those cards. You got Maluk. Then on Sunday, it's a 5-tone. With the dog. So the white overtone dog, Oak, 5 Oak on Saturday. Excuse me, I said Sunday. Saturday. So 5 Oak, that dog energy, unconditional love on Saturday. And that 5-tone is about better movement. It's putting things in action with that unconditional love. So remember that. And then on Sunday, we have a 6-2-1, the blue rhythmic monkey. That's kin number 71. That's the, so the monkey is about balancing work and play, and it's another artist aspect. So work with clarity of mind, and that magical artistry that comes with that with that monkey energy, and innocence and spontaneity is part of it, and that ability to play and laugh, and so lots of fun for that energy on Sunday. And let go of insensitivity and jadedness and resistance to compassion and mistrust. Then on Monday, now this is interesting because it is leap day, February the 29th. So what do we do here? We have a galactic alignment on Monday, and it's called the Hunab-Ku Galactic Alignment Day. And Hunab-Ku is like the same as Great Mystery. It's the same as God Force. It means the maker of movement and measure. And so Hunab-Ku, and it's spelled H-U-N-A-B and K-U. So that's our Galactic Alignment Day, and as someone was to be born on that day, we would say that's 1071, the blue rhythmic monkey. So it's a throwback to the day before in terms of anybody who needs a signature on that day other than Hunab-Ku. And then on Tuesday, we have a portal day, and it is a 6E, the human, with that 6 rhythmic tone with it. So moving into action and working with our stuff in that flow, and with the human energy, doing our part, doing what our job is. So it is in line with the cards again. So and it's being a portal day, so it's pretty powerful. Let me see.
I think it's just fascinating that that the cards and the Mayan calendar, that this is lining up. And I guess maybe sometimes we hear these things and they say, well, you know, maybe is that really true or whatever. But this just gives us confirmation that all this good that we're hearing is possible. And sometimes when we've had so much stuff going on in our life and in the world, we kind of maybe get a little down, and this is an opportunity for us to really have the upliftment and know, and the confirmation with the two, I think, is just fascinating.
Oh, yeah, it's just really woven together. I think it's right on it, and I think it's kind of fun that leap day is right in the middle of the week. So it's like balancing between the two cards and then the now card, weaving it all together as well. Good job, people. We know how to do this. We just go through this alone. So there you go, Eve. That it's a healing aspect, and it's about the enlightenment of humankind and activating cosmic consciousness and attuning to spirit. So we are that human servant warrior, and our gifts are the abundance and our contact with other dimensions. So let go of dependence on the analytical mind. So there you go. That's probably described the Eve human energy, how we work with that. And then Wednesday, an 8-10. So that 8 tone revisiting the wave we had before is 10. We are in the wave of Kini right now, which is the linker of worlds, and Kini gives us that opportunity to link with the past. And as we are in this place of linking ages and linking everything else, I think that linking the past in terms of our future, or even remembering and working with the purification energies that are present at this time, with linking with our past, purify those feelings, use that praise, respect, thanks, and love for things that are difficult to work through as things come up in our purification process. So that's how we work with this wave. And Wednesday is an 8-10, and 8 is that Jaguar Priestess. Magical place. It's a 9 solar tone of 9 standard cycles. So there you go. That's the whole week. And I think it weaves well into all the other energies that are going on right now. We just do our work and show up and be calm. And when in doubt, make popcorn. So I pass the popcorn to you.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. We always enjoy having Rainbird give us this update. And like she says, we just need to show up. It sounds like from both of these suggestions that the universe is supporting us. Now we just need to do our part and move forward with it. So anything else before that is going on in your world that you want to share before you sign off from us?
Oh, well, I'm good, but I will share that I've been studying a lot about cash because I'm wanting to do some work with the free energy, and I'm wanting to learn as much as I can. But his latest work that he's bringing out this week is actually building the basic unit for a spaceship. And he says that, and he says starting this week, that's what he wants to focus on now. Because you have the background from doing the work we've done since October. And so that's pretty exciting. I'm pretty thrilled how all that is developing and how everybody's putting in some input and seeing the worldwide effect as far as the participation. And it's just real delightful to do that work. And I invite anybody else to check it out. I don't feel... I feel lots of different feelings about Mr. Cash. I think he's an awesome person and doing a wonderful job.
Why don't you spell his name for people that might not know how to spell that?
His name is spelled Aaron, Mehran, and his last name is Cash, Keshe. He's Iranian. He worked with NATO. He worked in Belgium. He worked with nuclear energy for a long time before switching to this, and he has a real strong feeling about bringing it to the people. He brought out the space stuff because he said that his computer was hacked and that the private industry is on it, and he wanted to make sure that we all got it before they clamped it down with patents.
Okay.
So there you go. That's kind of an update on what that's about. I just thought it was important to share.
Okay. Well, we thank you so much. And an update with Judy Beebe. Many of you have known about the 3-inch personal sphere. If you want to go to her website, it's Judy Beebe, B-E-E-B-E, B-E-E-B-E. BE.com. And so you can see I've been working with her as well, connecting her with how, now that we have this energy, how do we make it available to do work for us. And so there's a lot going on in many different arenas, people that are working on energies that are not what we've been used to, and the limiting energy base that we've been working from. So we thank you, Rainbird. All right, Tara and Rama, what do you have to share with us? Have you talked to anybody out there, Rama? And then is there anything that you want to share as far as the update on the website that is the GoFundMe site for Rama's surgery? If you want to do that, you're welcome to do that as well. But we want to know who you talk to and what's going on.
Greetings. This is Tara and Rama and Tabitha. Tabitha, every time this third thing comes along, she sits right here by the microphone and says, okay, go.
Yeah. I do want to say that the end of the month is coming very close, and we need to pay the rent and...
And, yeah, there's some bills left.
Yeah,
still.
This is very important.
Yes, please.
And the GoFundMe site, it is moving along.
Yes, and Rama's, he's still a little bit high on his blood pressure.
Yes.
So, and we've got to have a study, you know, keeping it normal in order to consider it to go. So we just got to send Rama good vibrations.
Yes.
All kinds of good vibrations.
Well, now let's just take a moment and write in this very moment, all those that are listening, that we focus our, make our focus here to assist Rama. We lend our energies for him to use in the most appropriate way for him to have whatever he needs for to be ready for his surgery. And he will know, the universe will know. We just need to lend our energy and allow him and the universe to use it in a way that's most appropriate. In this moment, now.
And now, and now, oh. And now. And we had a, we're learning how to ride the surf that Zuvaya, everybody.
Cause, yes.
Day before yesterday, there was something going on with the car again. And we need a new refurbished transmission, yet a brother, a millennial brother of our family is going to pay for it. It's unbelievable. I'm just going to say that's $1,800 that we got to put to the car. And he said it's a darn good thing you found out about this before you set up on the road.
Yeah.
So spirit is manifesting. And I'm just saying that's another piece of the puzzle that just came along the way here.
So that you'll be able to travel in it. Then it's good that you got it taken care of here, or you're getting it taken care of before you get out on the road.
Yeah, it's not all here. It's going to come in a little bit of a pieces, but it's going to come.
Yeah.
Right. So hopefully that'll be done between this week and next week. So
is there anybody out there talking to you, Rama?
Oh, there's all kinds of folks talking to me. I could go on for the next hour or two because everything we're looking at right now is about the higher frequencies moving in and the love frequency that is riding this wave into our present moment. There are so many facets to the story here that fit in with what is being brought forward by Bernie in the context of keeping things right down to earth.
Yeah, Bernie just had a town hall meeting for 2 hours with
Chris Matthews. Hardball.
And Chris Hayes.
Yes.
Yeah. At the University of Chicago, that's a big deal. That's Michelle Obama's alma mater and Barack Obama, too, for part of his education. Very interesting.
There are so many different stories going on about the 13 families continuing to collapse around themselves like the talking heads on the TV and the radio. It is an absolute race to the bottom of the pile. And it is funny, but it is. Please send more love to these life forms because it is.
There's still one at the very top of the pyramid that's going to be taken all the way down. We're only guessing. Last week I thought it was Hillary. This week I think it's Henry Kissinger.
And I kind of got to second that motion because there is more and more stories coming out about the 13 families and how everything is tied with threads to other stories that lead into other stories. Like, for instance, this morning on BBC News, that's out of England, I'm sure most everyone has heard of the story about Jimmy Savile. And
well, not necessarily tell people who this person
is. Jimmy Savile was written about by David Icke, and he was a major comedian, entertainer for children on BBC Network, and he was also involved at the highest levels, where he was rubbing elbows with the Queen, Prince Charles, Prince Philip, Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, and also raping and molesting children.
Especially young girls.
To the tune of over 75 to 80 people. Jimmy Savile's not on the planet yet. I mean,
anymore.
But all this is coming out now, and it's a sign that they just can't contain any more of the absolute horrendous stories that have gone on for so many eons. And it ties in with other stories that have to do with how the criminals are desperately trying to distract us with, you know, Mr. Hare out there and Mr. Cruz and Rubio, and Bernie is the most sane of all these people. He is the most sane.
He's not part of the bloodlines.
No, he's not. He's the outsider that is coming in, holding that frequency of the, you know, holy radiant masters from Venus.
Yeah, he's part of those who were persecuted. His parents were Jewish immigrants. They were very poor.
Yes.
And he made it through that period. That's very interesting.
Today I spoke with the three Pleiadian ladies that go to St. John's College. And they talked about how the frequencies are getting so much higher and higher.
Yeah.
And everyone is feeling this, and it's about dimensional shifting at such a deep core level that, like Aluna Joy described in her message, that you could be thinking about something and doing something, and you turn and you shift your consciousness, and you're in a totally another realm of dimensionality.
Yeah, and they're saying it's not down the road. Everything is right now.
This ties in with my little experience this week earlier, where I was taken to...
Oh, I have that, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's got to do with...
Tell them, Rama.
The shifting of dimensional reality.
He just had an intuitiveness, and
he decided to go to... Yeah, I got wild hair up my ear, and I went into this place here in Santa Fe.
It's called the Tibetan House. It's up Canyon Road.
And it's part of what His Holiness the Dalai Lama has done to help Tibetan people come to the West and, you know, just become part of our society. It's called the Tibet House. I went, some reason I just got pulled in there, and I was...
And three lamas approached him. Now, this is what we're talking about. It's like instantaneous. The higher energies, the telepathic realms are functioning at a very high level. Yeah. So these three lamas, they came in and they asked Ram if he was the same Ram who went up to the Blue Lake at the request of the Pueblo elders back in 1981.
Yes.
And in other words, you know you're in an altered state and you're in another dimensional reality when something like that happens. And Ram said yes. And then they said, well, we have something to show you. And they took Ram to another part of the store in the back. They showed him a section where there were many Tibetan rugs, and they lifted up the rugs, and there was a large wooden door with metal rings, heavy, big ones, on either side of the door. And these three lamas, they lifted the door as though it were made of paper. Then Ram
now,
saw
Rama, where were you while all of this was going on? From your perspective, were you watching it?
He was with them.
I was with them watching them lift his door up.
Yeah, that's what I was asking you. So tell us from your eyes saw it or you experienced it. Tell us from what you were experiencing and feeling.
I just was amazed that this part of the store was there that I had never seen before, because I had been in this store with Tara.
Oh, we've been in there a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And we went to meetings there.
Yes. And I had never, experienced it in this way. So I knew something was up with the dimensional shifts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go on, Rama. You saw
it. And we went down these steps.
They were stone stairs.
Stone stairs.
And you started to count them. You thought that way you could figure out where you were and how far you were going. You got to about 500, and then he stopped counting.
Then I lost count.
Yes, he realized that something wasn't the same. The times were he lost track of time.
Yes.
He tried to describe that he thought it, maybe it was 10 minutes, but anyway, go on, Rama.
So I went down these steps, and it must have been at least 10 minutes, and we got to this long tunnel, and we got to the entrance of the tunnel.
And it was very, very big, right?
Very big, like you could drive a semi-truck through it. And it was lit by torches that were made of wood, and they
must have had something metal on the inside.
Yeah, but they used the llamas explained that they used yak butter to keep the torches lit.
Yak butter over here?
Well, whatever. Ghee. Yeah. And we walked down this tunnel for about another 10 minutes, and then we got to this waterway. And
like a canal.
And then we got into this long canoe, and two of the llamas were rowing, and we rowed along this waterway till we entered this huge cavern. And in the cavern was this 100-foot Buddha, and the Buddha was holding two crystal skulls.
He was sitting lotus style.
Yeah. And the two crystal skulls were glowing and pulsating.
One in each hand.
Yes. And as I kind of whispered to the llamas, I said, "Where am I? Where are
we?"
And they said, "We're about 5 miles underneath the city of Santa Fe."
In reality.
And I knew that some time shifting had happened.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't in Kansas anymore, per se. And I could feel the frequency dimensional shift because everything just felt so magical and light. Mm-hmm. And they explained that this room had been there as longer than I have been in a body. And I guess this is part of this,
it's been there for a long time.
Yeah. And long time. What it tells me is it's connected with the various super civilizations that, along the West Coast, the Southwest, when this part of the world was connected with, the other parts of Lemuria, Atlantis. That's how far back it goes.
Well, yeah. La Cienega is just 20 minutes away, and that's the land of ancient Lemuria.
Right.
And on this side where Santa Fe is, that was part of Atlantis.
Yes.
So we've got Atlantis and Lemuria land within a 20-minute drive right here.
And
you can tell the difference.
Yes.
And you know, it really feels like that this, where you are, connects with the Tibetan, I mean, actually, on the other side of the world. It feels like that they are, that when you're in this space, that you're connected with where they are over there.
Yes.
That's true. And there was a place in, it's called Rio Rancho, and in 1990, the Hopi elders came to that place, and the Dalai Lama and many lamas came to that place, and you couldn't tell the difference in their looks or anything except for what they were wearing. In other words, the Hopi elders were wearing their traditional garb,
yes,
and the lamas were wearing their lama garb, but they had the same facial features, the same high cheekbones, the same sort of slanty eyes they both had, and it was amazing. And they passed these Hopi prophecies on to the Dalai Lama, and the Dalai Lama passed some Tibetan, Tibetan tablets of some sort to them. And so the combination is just amazing.
Yes.
The energy, and the Dalai Lama gave an olive branch to Rama back then and said, you know, you'll need this olive branch, and I will be with you so you can finish your mission, Lord Rama.
That's right.
He took him to the side and told him that.
Yes.
And I was there too. I hadn't met Rama personally yet. That was real interesting. So there's just I know I can see our sisters here. Olmina.
Oh
no, they got the wrong person. Okay, so there was one thing that was really important that was yesterday. No, it was the day before yesterday, right?
Yes.
Yes, and this is just to keep us on the track, because there's all kinds of stuff going on that we don't want to hang on to, because the shift of the ages is real. It's really happening.
It is. Now. It is like so much racing to this finish point.
Phase one is complete in the symptoms of dimensional shifting, and we're being prepared for this dimensional travel time now. Like what Rama just got through talking. Don't be surprised if a whole bunch more of us are having these experiences
where you get led just by intuition to go do something. Follow that intuition.
Yeah, it's not about the money.
No.
And Bono and the King of Swords called Rama on Tuesday.
Yes.
And they said this thing that's talking about the global reset, and Cobra put it out, that Cobra, his ideas are tied in with the Dinar story. See, they like to use people that lightworkers consider part of themselves, and then they put their black ops in there. So Cobra and his ideas are tied in with the Dinar story. And the Dinar story ties into the major players at the top of the 13 family pyramid.
Yeah.
And that's in particular Phil and Wendy Graham. And Phil and Wendy Graham got their Nisara blessings. I'm sorry to say, it's like giving certain group enough rope to hang themselves routine, like Mother always says.
Yeah.
Anyway, those people are leading the people who call themselves good Christians, i.e. C Street, K Street, Wall Street, the mega evangelical ministers and leaders, Donald Trump and the Tea Party.
Yes.
Above all of the above tie in with the agenda makers, the Mossad, the creators of the assassination of the clone of JFK Sr., and everything else in between all those 38 years up till 9/11 and beyond.
This ties in with Henry Kissinger and Sarah Palin, what we're watching.
And all those families we just were mentioning.
What Hillary is doing.
Yes.
By, let's say.
So the global reset is like a front story cover up.
Right.
And what it's doing is really it's selling the people a Trojan horse.
Yes.
So many light workers are buying this deception. And both Bono and the King of Swords said, stay as far away from this as you can. And as we are following the true teachings of Yeshu, Pistis Sophia, Yeshu of the House of Mary, faith in divine wisdom, and the beloved Magdalena, overlighted by Lady Masternada. Sananda and Lady Masternada's teachings came through them, and they taught that the first order of business would be to help the least amongst us. And this global reset is helping the rich, and they're promising the world, and they're not going to deliver. So
also,
let's say that.
In the last 24 hours, Saudi Arabia has launched the largest military operation in the Middle East, and this is a big story. Ed Schultz is talking about it on RT. And let's just say, like we've been hearing in a roundabout fashion from Ben Fulford and others, Saudi Arabia is going to be carved up and become an autonomous region, along with the other stories out there of all of these ancient families who are not representing the Mahdi, Lord Maitreya, returning. And they are playing with fake stories out there about nukes. And like I keep saying, Ashtar has said no nukes. He means it. And at the same time, they are pumping the fear story. And this is why it is so important right now to remember to stay in a state of balance and love. Because these stories can throw you a left hook right out of nowhere, and it will knock you off center. It's already, I've experienced it this week. And
so the bottom line is to let go of the money.
Yeah.
And all of the programs that are about that, because Nasara is not about money.
No.
And this other stuff is not connected with Saint Germain and the space commanders and the ascended master brotherhoods and sisterhoods of light. And Cobra is not in charge, and Saint Germain is in charge. So let's stay on the path and not get distracted. I think Nasara now.
Rama, approximately in Earth time, how long do you think you were gone when you went down these stairs and into this other dimension?
Oh, maybe about, it seemed like...
You were gone a couple of hours.
Yeah, and to me, it seemed like maybe, half hour, 45 minutes of time went by. In Earth time that day.
20 minutes each way. You had to walk back.
Yeah. And so, I would say I was gone for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And it only seemed like 20 minutes to me.
Each way.
Each way, which is, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Just a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, but in reality, you went through a time shift because it takes to walk five. How many miles?
5 miles.
5 miles. Never mind.
No.
That's 3 or 4 hours each way.
Yeah.
Well, and you had, but didn't you say you were like in a canoe or something for a while?
We got in a canoe. And
they came up to this waterway, this canal, and there was a canoe waiting for them.
And just paddled in the, they paddled.
And you sat like your royalty that you are.
And it seemed like 10 minutes, but maybe it was a lot longer. It reminded me of the...
Let's say they said a few more things, Rama.
Yeah,
they wanted the lamas told Rama, they wanted to show Rama this sitting Buddha with the crystal skulls, and that they told Rama, as he wanted to speak with Ashtar at any time, he could come here with them and could do so through the crystal skulls at the Buddha.
Yeah.
And then they bowed to Rama, and they said, thank you for coming and showing up to do your mission. And then they told me, do not worry. Maitreya has arrived. Rama asked about world peace and the end of fighting. And they said there is a great movement of our galactic brotherhoods and sisterhoods, along with Kalki Maitreya, the 10th incarnation of the Mahdi, to end all of the wars going on this beloved planet now. Rama just couldn't help himself. He said, how?
Yeah.
And they said, Lord Maitreya has a great weapon, a remover of all obstacles. They described it as Lord Maitreya's mothership, a huge vimana that is 1,000 miles in diameter, and it vibrates to the mantra. How do we say that, Rama? Om Triambakam
Yajamahe Sugandhi Pushti Vartanam Uvaru Kamiva Bandhanat Mrityor Mukshya Mamrutat.
And it means in English, it means we meditate on the three-eyed reality which permeates and nourishes all this, all like a fragrance. May we be liberated from death for the sake of immortality, even as the cucumber is severed from bondage to the creeper. That's what it means. And it's called the Mahamrityunjaya Yunjaya Mantra. And you can find this at www.swamiji, that's swamij.com/, and then I'll spell this, MAHAMRITYUN, as in Nelly, JAYA.htm.
This mantra is...
You should just put it up on the website, Ron.
This mantra is so ancient, and it's considered one of the prime mantras that removes obstacles that are of a nature like what's going on in Syria and Saudi Arabia and the Ukraine. Big, big stories.
And then they said that our Rama and the Lamas chanted this together.
Yes.
At the Buddha there. And then the Lamas, they explained that the Maitreya families, there's about 4,000 families that live on Maitreya's Vimana. And that they were chanting along with them when that happened.
Yes.
And there's 6 levels, and there's just endless gardens. There's all kinds of new plants and flowers and trees, and there's things for the garden here that's going to be working real nice and quick when it's time. And it's time, so let's have it. And then all these fairies and angels and elves and hobbits and dwarves, they're all living there in peace. And Lord Maitreya is going to make his presence fully known right here, not alone, rather with all the other brotherhoods and sisterhoods of the light and the realms of heaven here on earth. And that's where they said, it's time now, and leave all the rest alone. Namaste.
Wow. Well, what a week. I mean, you've said, well, I've got, I can talk for a half hour. It is so interesting that you've had, I mean, the timing, the opening meditation we had with Angel Sue, drawing those cards and how that is fitting in with the Mayan Mayan calendar. And then you've had all this week. That's certainly, it's almost like giving us confirmation. You know, sometimes we know, yes, this stuff is happening, and yet it always seems like it's way out there in the future, and we sometimes don't get the confirmation. And it seems to me like we've just had so much confirmation here given to us that gives us gives everyone something to hang on to, or do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes, and another thing that these Pleiadian women were reminding Rama and say that Nasara is very old. You know, just because the people are just learning about it, or we learned about it before a lot of people did in 1993, the preparation for Nasara, you know, in the most recent of times, it goes back to the incarnation of Sir Francis Bacon as Saint Germain, because he started the Renaissance there.
Yes.
And he taught them to do merchant banking. He taught the Bauer family to do that. And the Bauer family changed their name to Rothschild in 1743 so they could hide themselves. Amschel Bauer did that, changed the name to the name of his coin shop. He called it the Red Shield Coin Shop, which means the Rothschild Coin Shop. None of the sense. And they used these red shields all over, the Knights of Columbus and the Knights of Malta and all these church things. And they thought they made JFK Sr. a sacrifice to abort what was coming. And so it's all connected with the change of the ages.
Yes.
And Ram and I met this man that has been working on the Nasara since 1949. He was working with the original note holder called Sam Brown.
Yeah.
When we talk about Uncle Sam, that's really what we're talking about. He's of the House of Charcoal.
But it's not that guy with the, you know, the tall, skinny guy with the goatee looks like Colonel Sanders. No.
No, but it represents the wealth of the new Atlantis.
Yeah.
That's why Saint Germain is in charge of this thing, because these guys took that wealth of the new Atlantis that he had brought here and said, oh, well, let's use it for this to get our power.
Mm.
This is Saint Germain's. All the way, so the Violet Flame teachings are very important regarding the New Age of Enlightenment. And it's four times longer than any other yuga. That means we're going for about 125,000 years of peace. And that's a good thing. Now that Kathy's here. And there's Frank, too.
Human, and the others were human.
Okay.
We can hear somebody talking. That's you, Kathy, huh?
Yeah, hang on. Sorry, everybody. I'm very sorry. Frank just called me, by the way, so I'll give you the number he just called me on.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Well, I have the number I gave them is the one that we talk on all the time, so maybe... that's why I was asking when I saw Kathy was online. I said to call her because maybe there's a different number he wants us to use, and maybe she might have a different one.
Kathy?
Well, she's busy with that, so go ahead and talk till she gets back to us here.
Okay, so I guess we met this man, and he said he's a Knights Templar.
Yes.
And he was a much older man, and he came for a reading from Mother. And we spent about 6 hours with him on one day, another 6 hours on another day, and another 6 hours on a third day. And then we did a healing on him. So, I mean, we spent the week with this guy every day.
Yeah.
Until he was able to continue on his way. But he came here, and he said... Most of the Knights Templars that were driven out of the European continent, they came to California in particular, and they went underground, and they stuck together, and they went after, you know, the Hitlerian stuff. And in other words, they've been retrieving not just money, gold, and all kinds of dynastic things that were being abused and used by these reptilians who had invaded and occupied. but retrieving information from all these great libraries, like the Vatican Library, like the Geneva Library, the
Alexandrian Library,
the Alexandrian Library, the Luxor Library, the Library of Machu Picchu. And this has been going on ever since. So we're talking about, you know, now we're talking about the 1800s, because the first of the 78 programs goes back to Abraham Lincoln. That's why Nasara is not a few years old. Okay, we're going back to 150 years ago, right?
Or more,
55. I mean, 1860, 1960, 2010, 2015. Yeah, 156 years ago. And why is that? Because this country was ordained by the Declaration of Independence, which was signed by all 56 signees, yet it was not the whole thing. And so that's why they call this the Second Declaration of Independence, because they cut things out of the First Declaration of Independence. And the original Declaration of Independence was with the people that were here, which means that the native people, and that's the Iroquois Nation, represented the Cherokee. The Cherokee are the Black Irish. So that links back to all the European families. So this is taking all of this usurpation of both the European royals and then over here, this colony of Britain that's never set on this queen's slaves, and freeing everybody. And that's a good thing. So are we
Rama
there now?
And Tara, we do have Frank with us now.
So. Okay.
All right. Frank, can you hear me?
Certainly. You're coming in crystal clear. Good evening.
Well, we are so happy to have you with us. You always have interesting things to share. So where would you like to start this evening?
Boy, that's a good question. There are so many things I'd like to cover with you folks tonight. I think one of them would be a woman that I met that's a lifelong contactee. She lives in Ohio. Her name is Jacqueline, and she's been sharing some incredible information that I wanted to share with your audience. She's a lifelong contactee. She's also an animal communicator. She has the ability of being able to communicate with different species of animals and relay information to their owners, as well as communicate information to humankind via porpoises or dolphins or other animal species. And it's really, really beautiful. It's really incredible, the work that she's done. But she is very much like Sherry Wilde, who had been contacted as a young girl and grew up with the knowledge of star beings and being part of a star family and having been taken on board craft, motherships, and scout ships. And she told me of an experience she had about 2 years ago she's going to write about. And she said her star family that she's been working with have always been so interested in the concept of Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving, 2 years ago, they asked her if they could come and attend a little gathering at her home. And they said, would you put something out for us so that we could come and partake and share in the experience of a Thanksgiving type of an event? And she said she would be delighted to do so. So she lives in Ohio, and they opened a portal in her home, and about 33 of these star beings came through. 33 or 34 of them came through. And she prepared beverages like juices and sodas and water and cakes and hors d'oeuvres and things like that. But these beings do not ingest food as we do. They would touch the food and get the sensation of the food by the sense of touch. And they would touch the fruit juice or the water or the soda and get the sensation of it that way. And she said it was the most extraordinary thing she's ever had. And she said she played music and they danced in her home. And she said it was one of the most wonderful events she ever had. And she said, I feel compelled to write about this. And she is in the process of writing a book about it. She's written two other books, one regarding her star family and another one regarding animal communication. And I've been talking to her off and on. And I don't know if any of you folks remember seeing a very unusual footage of a craft that a father and son had taken over Ohio. I believe it was October 23rd of last year. It was just about dusk, and they were out hiking, and they saw an unusual object in the sky, and it looked like a huge butterfly. Well, it was a butterfly-shaped craft, and it was really beautiful. They filmed maybe about a minute and a half of it, and underneath the wings, the lower wings of the butterfly-shaped craft, you could see portholes. They were like rectangular and square holes where light was coming through. So they filmed that, and they put it up on the Internet, and somebody said that a similar craft had been seen over Pearl Harbor and photographed, and intelligence officials were looking at it. Well, I sent this clip to Jacqueline, and she has the ability to be able to make mental communication with the beings. And she said, Frank, this is a group of star beings that look like us. She said they're much taller than we are. She said they told her they've never been in contact with anyone on the planet before, and they've come here to be part of the graduation process of disclosure, where the cosmic family, our cosmic family, is going to be interacting with us. And she said they purposely came here to be part of that, and that we'll be seeing more of their craft. And I thought that was really, really nice. And I had no idea that Jacqueline had that ability to be able to communicate with off-planet craft like that, specifically by identifying them visually and then sending a message to them, and they will communicate back to her.
Wow, so, that in Ohio's right next to me here, so I'm not far away from all
I,
of
I
that.
I think I sent that clip to you. If I hadn't sent it to you, Marriott, I'll send it to you again. It's really a beautiful craft, and you could do a close-up underneath of it, and it's just beautiful. I've never seen a craft that looked anything like this before. And I think she said that the beings were maybe 7.5 feet tall, and they were men and women, but they've never communicated with anybody on this planet before. They just came here to be part of the joyous celebration of disclosure of our cosmic family, and that we're all star beings, and we're all going to be joining and interacting together. And she's been told by her own star family that things have been so accelerated that they expect a lot of activity to be going public within the next 9 months or less. And you're going to be seeing more and more craft, more and more unusual sightings of ships, all different types of ships, because they're coming here from everywhere.
Well, the interesting thing when you talk about the butterfly is that has been such a symbol of a lot of the work that I have done, the transformational clearing. It's like moving from the larva into the butterfly, and the shift and the change. And that has been the symbol that I have used in much of my work. So when you talk about a butterfly ship, it's like, oh, wow, I want to connect with that.
It's a symbol of metamorphosis, which is just beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A fellow that works with me, his brother lives in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Pardon me. And 2 years ago on July 3rd, him and his wife, Rhonda, were out taking a walk, and they were getting ready to have a gathering. We went there for the July 4th weekend picnic. And they live very close to the Willow Grove Naval Air Station. So his name is Sean. His wife is Rhonda. They were taking a walk, and he saw two F-16s come up off of the Willow Grove Naval Air Base. And he said they were just coming into view. And he said all of a sudden a ship came into view, and he said it was a large disc. And he said it looked to be maybe 60 feet in diameter. And he said the craft started to do barrel rolls around the two F-16s from wingtip to wingtip, and then from nose to tail. And he said it put on like a little show. And he said he could see when it turned in the sunlight, it was glinting like silver, like an aluminum color, and then it would take off and then come back again. And he said the whole sighting lasted about probably maybe 40, 50 seconds. And his wife, Rhonda, was really upset that had occurred. And when I talked to her about it, she said, Frank, I don't want to even talk about it. I don't want to even acknowledge that I saw it. And yet Sean said it was perfectly wonderful to have that experience. And he said he wasn't frightened by it. He said it was like watching a cat and mouse game. And he said they were being very playful with the two F-16s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just before we had that last snowstorm here, Sean was out walking again, and he happened to see something very unusual in the sky. And this was on January 23rd. And I think the snowstorm came in either that night or the next day. And he took a photograph and he said, Frank, look at these white dots. And in the foreground, you could see telephone wires. and above them in like a V, somewhere like in the V formation and somewhere like in a W formation, there were 22 what he called white dots. But I'm telling you, Marietta, they're craft. They were beautiful, beautiful craft. So that's the second experience he had with the ships. And, you know, his wife gets very upset by this, but he's so excited about it, and he's so in awe of it. And I said, Sean, you've been given a gift twice of being able to see these ships. And I said, it's really wonderful that you're open and sharing about it. Now, his brother who works with me is shut off to all this. I mean, he thinks anybody who thinks that there are such things as flying saucers or visitors from other planets are nuts. And I've shared so much information with him, but he can't take it. I have to be careful or he'll go out a window.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there's so many things that are becoming more and more known to us. And I think Colonel Ware, who was on your program, was maybe about a year ago, Donald Ware, he was a UFO investigator. He was also a MUFON director for the state of Florida. He sent me a copy of Rockwell's Integrated Space Plan. And this was from the 1970s through probably 2025 to 2030 regarding the plans for being able to go out into space and explore into our solar system, into our galaxy, and out into other galaxies. Well, this is one of the most remarkable things I've seen, and I shared it with a couple other people, and they said all those things were accomplished decades ago. They said somebody has given Colonel Ware this integrated space plan so that it could be released to the public, but all these things were accomplished a long, long time ago. And I happened to be talking to a fellow by the name of Dr. Bob Wood, who was a physicist who worked with McDonnell Douglas. He was also part of the Condon Committee for the report of UFOs, and they wanted to get him kicked off the committee because he wouldn't play ball with them. He saw that these ships that they were trying to disparage as being hoaxes or being, you know, swamp gas or you know, light being reflected off of the breast of geese were actually true events. And Richard Condon, who was in charge of the Condon report, went to Mr. Douglas and said, "You have to fire." He said, "You have to fire Bob Wood; that he's not playing ball with us." And Mr. Douglas said, "No." He said, "He's a very thorough and competent scientist, a very accurate physicist, and he should be part of that team." And they put so much pressure on Bob Wood, he wound up leaving the Condon Commission because he said it was nothing but a whitewash. They wanted to make everything look as if there was nothing going on, and yet he knew that something was going on. And he said McDonnell Douglas were in the forefront of a lot of activities that were opening the door to other programs and the secret space program. Well, Dr. Bob Wood started to work with a fellow that I mentioned to you folks probably the last time or so that I was on your Stargate Roundtable, that somebody by the name of Bill Tompkins was going to come forward and release information regarding his work and a series of books called Selected by Extraterrestrials. Well, Bob Wood was working with Bill Tompkins. He comes to find out that Bill Tompkins was also working at McDonnell Douglas in another secret division working on projects regarding the secret space program. And he's been helping Bill Tompkins come forward. He edited the first of four or five books that Bill Tompkins is going to be releasing. And it's some of the most extraordinary information. Bill Tompkins, before the Second World War, he had the ability of being able to go as a young teenager into Long Beach Harbor and take a look at naval craft there. And with his photographic memory, he was able to create exact models of what the ships were made like and everything that was on the ships from seeing it just once. And he made models of these, and they had it in a hobby store in Long Beach, California. And some Navy personnel happened to see them, and they wanted to find out who did it. And they found out that this young boy, who was 15 or 16 years of age, had created them. And they basically recruited him at that age to come and work inside the Navy Department. And he had an experience, too, that he shared before the Navy brought him in. The Battle of L.A. that occurred on February 24th and 25th of 1942, where this huge craft came over Los Angeles, and it was captured in searchlight beams, and they fired rounds at it. And their photographs were in the Los Angeles Times and several other papers back during that time period. He said, Frank, I saw that event as a young boy. He said, I was about 16 years of age. And he said, we saw it come in from the Pacific. And he says, it came right over central Los Angeles, and it was captured on all these searchlight beams. And he said, the craft was about 2,400 feet in diameter, okay? And he said, all these smaller craft started coming out of it. And he said, they kept firing at it. And he said, the reports in the paper were not accurate. He said they only fired at it for maybe 2 or 3 hours. He said it was there for 6.5 hours. And he said they couldn't make a dent in because it had a protective force field around it. And he said the ship shot out a beam that happened to come down into his yard. His parents were outside on their deck watching this. And he said the beam that came from the large craft, the 2,400-foot in diameter craft, came and it passed over the family and went out into the yard. And he said he felt a very, very strange sensation when that occurred, almost as if something was being triggered inside of him. Well, shortly after that, the Navy brought him in, and he started working with the Navy in San Diego at North Island. And there was a think tank there, and he was brought in and reported directly to an admiral. And they were so impressed with his ability of being able to capture things in such detail that they started getting him to work in an engineering capacity to do some of the most remarkable things you can imagine. Also during that time period, there were spies that were in Germany that were working for the Navy, and there were 34 or 35 of them, and they would rotate them in once every 4 to 5 weeks, and they would debrief them. And they found out that the Germans had been working with extraterrestrials and had developed disc technology. And these spies were giving the information that were being debriefed. And the details were being given to the admiral. They wanted Bill to hear this because they wanted to start designing some of the things that the Germans had that they had gotten from the extraterrestrials. So his story is just really, really phenomenal. And it goes into detail about how there was a secret agreement between the Germans and the Allied forces, and they allowed a certain number of Germans to be able to leave Germany and to set up a base in Antarctica. And he said they had access to the inner opening into the inner Earth. And Bill said that there are incredible caverns there, and he said all the caverns are linked by these anti-gravitational tube tunnels. And he said some of them are hundreds of thousands of years old. And he said the Navy started building some of their own, too, to connect other parts of military bases underneath the United States. So they taught Bill how to fly, and he was given the Admiral's plane to be able to fly secret documents and records to what we now know as Area 51. It was called S-4, that the Navy had an underground facility back in during the Second World War out there that nobody knew about. And Bill told me that he said he was also given certain records to take to a place in Warminster, Pennsylvania. Now, I know Kathy knows where Warminster is, and that's not too far from Willow Grove Naval Air Station. And I said to Bill, there's nothing out there except a lot of farm fields and some residential housing. He said, well, when he was going out there, he said there was nothing but fields. He said, but there was a naval facility there that he took records to. And he said, there's a lot of unusual activity that was going on at Willow Grove Naval Air Station that continues to this day. And when I told
Bill, you know, when we had the fellow that, you know, did C-SETI and all of this, when he was speaking, he said that we've had, since the 50s, the ability to have had ships with the anti-gravity. And he said, you know, here we are sending our astronauts up in these with the missiles. I mean, you know, with something that's really dangerous when we've got the anti-gravity ships that they could be using all of this time. So that was absolutely interesting.
Absolutely. He said that we're not hundreds of years beyond what the public is being told. He said, and Colonel Ware validated this. He said, they're thousands of years. He said, that there was the ability to go to the moon in the 50s. He said they had solved the ability of anti-gravity. And he said what they did was they found that Maxwell's equation had some missing terms. And he said when they were able to put together those missing terms, it was able to give them the ability to open a door to the stars. And it all space and time is the same. So you can go forward and backward in time. You can go anywhere that you want to go, anywhere in space. And he said what they needed to do was after they solved the ability of being able to go faster than speed of light, he said they had to find where the wormholes were, that they could go through these wormholes and go out into the stars. And he said the first one that they found was in Northern Virginia. And he said they found many others thereafter. But he said the first one they started to use was in Northern Virginia. And he said that the first Mars mission was a joint Mars mission either in 61 or 62 where we went with the Russians. And he said there's bases on the moon, on the far side of the moon. He said there's also bases on Mars. And he said that they have developed what's called Solar Warden. He said there's 8 battle groups that have been built using the technology that we have developed. And he said there are the information that that hacker in England who had spoken about the Navy fleet, where they had all these officers who were being transferred from one group to another. Bill Tompkins said, these are the guys that are part of Solar Warden. And he said, they're not only in this solar system. He says, they have bases around Alpha Centauri 1 and Alpha Centauri 2. And he said, they're building 3 more battle groups. And he said, one of the ships they asked Bill to develop was 17 kilometers long, which is 2.5 miles long. And he said, Frank, he said, they build these ships underground in these underground tunnels. And he said, then when they take them out, and they either exit through the ocean or they exit through some of the wormholes that are all the locations known around the planet. And he said, it's absolutely astounding. And he said that there's so much that hasn't been told to the public. He said that they've been able to reverse aging. He said in males, they could reverse aging to between 33 to 35 years of age. He said in women, it could be between 23 to 24 to 25 years of age. And when he started working with the Navy, he was working with the TRW. He was working with working with McDonnell Douglas, and there were these women that worked in these facilities in these think tanks as administrators. But he said, Frank, they weren't administrators. He said they were Nordic women that were placed down here to help in programs. And he said they would work with him and give him information telepathically. And he said he would joke and kid with them, and he said they would communicate telepathically. And he said it was the most accurate form of communication he's ever had. And he said that when he was working on a project and in a complex subject or topic to work on from an engineer standpoint, he said he would get like a flash of white light in his mind, and then anything that he needed to do to accomplish would be there. And he said he's slowly helping him. And he said some of the Navy people that they were working with knew that they from here, that they were volunteers, and they would come in for certain periods of time, and then they'd say that we have to go back to our company. And Bill would be in Los Angeles, in Washington, D.C., at the Pentagon, in other parts of the country on military bases, and he said these women would be talking to him mentally in the meetings, and he said it's like they could see through his eyes, and they could tell him the meeting was going to fail, and he said they could even he said he was astounded that they had those kinds of abilities, but they didn't use them for negative purposes. They were using them for positive purposes. And he said that these Nordic women, he said they were about the same size as Earth women. He said, but most of them were blonde hair and blue eyes. And he said they had beautiful skin, beautiful complexion, but they just never aged. And he said they were always fun to be around because they knew that at some point, it would be made known to us that we're part of a cosmic family and that they're here to help us. But he said almost all the ones he was working with were all women. And he said that to this day, he receives some communication from them, even though some of them are not here anymore. They've gone back. And he said they've come from the constellation Orion. And he told me that they taught him a form of remote viewing. They call it the astronaut's remote viewing. And he said he could project himself to be on board ships. And I said, Bill, how real is it? He said, cooking coffee in the galley. He says, I could smell it. He said, that's how real it is. It's really, really astounding. This guy is 91 years of age, Marietta, and to talk to him, he sounds like he's like 18 years of age. He's so enthusiastic. His wife, Mary, she's such a cutie. I said to her, I said, Mary, your husband sounds like he's 18. She says, he acts like he's 18. He's got so much energy and enthusiasm, and the Navy has given him the green light to release this information, and he's been on several radio shows, and he's being monitored by the Navy, and they keep telling him, tell more. Get the story out there. It's like they want to prepare people that there's a lot more to what's going on than what we're being told. But getting
so
people
where can,
acclimated to the
where can we hear him? Or do you have any...
I have links to some of the shows that he's been on. His book is called Selected by Extraterrestrials. You could search it out on the internet. It's on Amazon.com, and there's some really incredible information about it. And
okay.
He lived in the secret world of saucers, and he's still working on projects, even at this age. He said, Frank, the work never ceases. He said, there's always something that needs to be done, something that needs to be accomplished. And he was being of service. And he said, he's not the only one who thought that. He said, there were 300. He said, all men came in and were guided by these Nordics to work in specific industries to help move mankind forward to a greater realization of who we are, what our technological capabilities could be. But they want to use it all for positive purposes. And a lot of the people that were resistant to this truth coming out, Colonel Ware and Bob Wood say that about 70% of them now are won over. The other 30% are the resistance is breaking down, and this information is going to come out. And it's like these people are vanguards for it. And I know Colonel Ware, he has no fear. He said, there's nothing I'm afraid of. There's nothing they can do to me. And Bill Tompkins is the same way. He feels that there's nothing they can do to him, that he's being protected. And it's wonderful that these people are coming out and making these stories known, because it gives us hope. It gives us the sensibility of knowing that everything is not going to be doom and gloom, that it's going to be very, very positive. And these individuals are saying the things we're going to see are just going to be really remarkable, and it's not going to be doom and gloom. They said those people that are putting that information out there are trying to break people's focus.
Mm-hmm.
Be aware of the things that are being said, but don't let it break your focus as to where we're going to be, where we're going to wind up being.
Wow. This
really
is all so enlightening and so uplifting. You know, we have so much other negativity out here in the world and everything that they're giving us on TV. And this is, it is just so wonderful that we can have a place here on Stargate Roundtable where we can share this kind of uplifting information and maybe give us a just the impetus to move forward and to stay focused and to stay with our focus on the light. We don't get that kind of focus very many places. So it is so we are so grateful for you to share all of this and to help people realize.
I would strongly suggest trying to get Colonel Ware on your program. If you want, I'll be happy to suggest him contacting you or you contacting him. He's got so much to share. It's absolutely unbelievable. And he has access to information that he's being given from deep inside to help.
Well, send me his contact information and also tell him he's welcome to call me or give me his, at least he'll know that if I do call him, then who I am and that you've recommended that we talk. So
absolutely.
I would love to have him on the show.
I want to share with you one of the stories that Bill told me, a project that they were given when he was with TRW. He said, someone approached them and they said, could you come up with a way of using internal combustion engines without changing the internal combustion engine but getting away from fossil fuel? So are you ready for this? He said,
yeah.
He said this, and he said, Frank, it worked. He said, they came up with filling the gas tank with water, H2O, and adding two aspirins. And he said, the aspirins combined with the water and provided the fuel for the vehicle, an internal combustion engine without changing anything. And he said, there was no pollution. He said, the vapor that came out the tailpipe was pure enough to drink. And he said that, I said to him, was it the hydrogen that created the capability of being able to be burned in a internal combustion engine? He said it was that and the aspirin. He said there's something in bark that aspirin is made out of that combined with the hydrogen to allow it to be turned into a fuel. And he said they only needed two aspirins and filled the gas tank and it would work. He said, however, TRW was being funded by the oil industry. And when they found out about this, they made them put that concept on the shelf. But he said it worked. And he said the Navy has been using fossil fuel for a long time. He said they had the ability of being able to use seawater to propel the ships. And he said that's not generally known. But he said we've been far away from the need to be on fossil fuels. It's just the old technology and the old greed that keeps it, you know, going that way. And, you know, it's interesting. I guess you've heard, your folks have heard, that there's a glut of oil in the market now. In New Jersey, there's places that gas is $1.29 a gallon. I was talking to some friends in Texas. It's down to 98 and 99 cents a gallon in Texas. There's a fleet of 500 tankers off the coast of New Jersey. They're just parked out there because there's no place to put oil because all the oil facilities are filled up in North Jersey. So they're just sitting out there. So I happened to see on CNN about a week and a half ago, they had an oil industry analyst who's been studying the oil industry for like 25 years. And they said, well, where's the bottom of this? And he said, we don't know how far it's going to go. And they said, well, can you speculate? And he said that a barrel will cost more than the oil that's in it. There's that much oil. And I think I told you folks maybe a year or a year and a half ago, a friend of mine who's a physicist had seen a report where geologists and other scientists had gone back to oil wells that were drilled in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and 60s. Where they had been pumped dry, and he went back to see what they would find. Well, they found that all the oil wells were full of oil again. All that oil had seeped up from the ground again, and they'd been keeping it quiet because I think we're going to see the point where we're going to see 40 to 50 cent a gallon gas. It's just really amazing. There's just that much of a glut of it out there. And, you know, with Iran being able to sell oil on the market now, the oil find that they had off of Brazil, they said it's 10 times the size of Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia tried to buy them off to tell them not to pump it. And they said, no, we're going to pump it. So there's no shortage of oil. And we're going to start to see the benefits of it. And it is coming down all around the country.
Well, there's so much that we don't really know the truth about. There's just so much censorship on everything. We think we have a free press, but with only a few people owning all of the media, yes. It's what we get is what somebody wants us to have, not what's really going on. So,
yes. You know, it's interesting, too. Colonel Ware and several other people have said to me that when the disclosure is given, the president's going to have five individuals with him, five galactics. One of the galactics is going to be Valiant Thor.
Okay.
Is that nice?
Oh, exciting.
It's really nice to know that so much is happening behind the scenes, and none of our, well, I just want to say this to you. Those who sent us here have never forgotten us. So we're not here alone. We're here, you know, as part of a grouping, part of a family, and, you know, the truth will out. It really will come out. All the truth will come out. Just don't be so hard on yourself or so hard on what you see around us, because a lot of that illusion is going to fall by the wayside. It really is.
When you made the statement like that sent us here have not abandoned us, I got such a validation on that in my whole body. It was just comforting, I guess.
Yes, it's true. It's true. We're never alone. We always have their help and guidance here. And so many people I've been running into saying they're feeling more and more of the work of archangels working here on the planet. And they said that portals are opening up. Matter of fact, some of the YouTube clips, there's some incredible footage. One is the footage that was taken by a satellite, and it looks like a part of the sky opens up, and this huge armada, it must be 500 or 600 ships, came into view. And a fellow that I know who works for the phone company, he has a friend who works in Washington, D.C., and she works in a very sensitive area, and her job is to take satellite photographs and to basically eliminate the evidence of ships in them. And she told this friend of mine who works for the phone company that there are so many ships around this planet now. She said she was brought up as a strictly religious woman. She said, I've never been prepared for this information that we are part of a large family of cosmic beings. She said, my religion never told me about this. And she said, I see thousands upon thousands of ships that are circling our planet. And she says, all different sizes, all different shapes. Some of them are enormous. And she said, they keep her busy as a bee to, to eliminate their images from the photos before any photos are released to the public. It's really astounding. It's really astounding.
Mm. Well, there is just, you have so many wonderful stories to share, and I'm looking forward to you getting me connected with Colonel Ware, because that sounds like that would be a marvelous guest for all of our listeners. And it is just, we are so grateful that you take the time to bring all this to us. So what else?
Aaron, it's always my pleasure. I'm going to send you a copy of that integrated Rockwell integrated space chart. And
okay.
You can circulate it around. It's really phenomenal, the detail that's in it. And it's interesting. When Colonel Ware sent it to me, I read it to Bill Tompkins, and he said, they released that? And I said, yes. I said, Colonel Ware was given it and was told to release it to folks. And mm-hmm. He said, if they're releasing that now, they're really getting ready for disclosure, because this stuff has been kept quiet for so long. And this is a vertical chart of space plans and space programs and activities to conduct in space. And Bill said that his way of presenting this kind of information would not be in a vertical chart. It would be in a horizontal chart. And he said, when it's laid out horizontally, it's much easier for the mind to accept the information and to allow it to come into your consciousness. He said, but Lockheed did not want to do this. They wanted to do it in a vertical format. So he said, it's a little bit more laborious to look at it and to read it and try to comprehend it. But he said, at least it's getting out there. So when you take a look at it, you're going to be shocked at the level of detail that they have in this. And Tompkins is saying this was all accomplished decades ago, and that we are so far beyond this capability with this Solar Warden. And he said that the first 8 groups of ships that they put together were using anti-gravity principles.
Mm-hmm.
He said the next 3 groups are not going to be using that. They're going to be using something that's even much more profound. And I said to him, are they going to be using thought? And he said, that's the fastest thing that there is thought. They're going to be using thought as a propulsion system to be able to get from one place to another.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all know that we've had the experience of being on Venus or being in different places, and so that's, having had that experience just is kind of like, okay, this is just a taste of maybe what we can do or where we can go.
Yes, truly. And look at the information that's coming out by Corey Good with Jason Whitlock. I mean, about the Blue Alliance, that's great stuff. I mean, there's so many helpers that are coming here from all over to help in this. It's graduation time, and are helping us in this graduation process.
Mm-hmm. Who did you say Corey Good was with? You mentioned a name. I didn't catch it.
Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock. Is that his name, Jason Whitlock?
Okay.
And he's got the Blue Alliance website, and he had been chosen because he's a telepathic intuitive, and he was picked by the government at a young age to be used in these meetings with star beings to find out if they're telling the truth. And it's amazing. He was given the green light to start telling his story. So he talks about all these meetings that they've had on board ships. And he said these blue star beings that he works with, they have like almost like the head of a bird, like almost like a blue jay. And he said where their mouth is, it's like a beak, but he said it's really a soft, very soft beak. And he said he was in one meeting, and he said one of the beings came over and touched him on the arm. And he was asked, what did it feel like? He said that the beings touched felt like talcum powder. It was that light.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Now, Marietta, wow. I got to tell you, I was talking to Judy, and she wants to come on to your show. She said she's got a strong feeling to share with you and your audience information about symbols and numbers that are very, very relevant and need to be brought into consciousness. And she said when you can schedule her, she'd love to come on to the program.
Well, I talked to her in the last couple weeks here, so we're going to be getting that whenever we can work it out in her schedule. So it's there is just so much happening, and we've been connecting her also with some of the people that can do some of the technical stuff that she needs. So it's
for the organ energy.
It's really exciting times.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, she'd gone
through
a health crisis. During the holiday season, she'd come down with pneumonia, and she told me, she said, Frank, I thought it was my time to exit. And she said she was out of her body, and she had an experience with her mother, and she thought that was her time now. And her mother said to her, no, Judy, it's not your time to be here. You still have work to complete, and you need to go back. And she said, I came back because the work still needs to be completed.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the angels that worked with her in the healing process, that was quite a phenomenal story as well. So
it is. She's quite a lady. Unbelievable.
Share that.
She does so much work so quietly, Marietta. She's a bright light on this planet. She really is a bright light. So,
exactly.
Again, she wanted me to convey to you, whenever it works for you, she would love to be on.
Well, we are working on that, and so we'll be announcing it soon.
Okay. I'll also contact Colonel Ware and let him know of the possibility of being able to do a show with you folks.
Okay.
He's just a joy to work with. He's, for a man as intelligent and as well-educated as he is, and he's been through the military, but he's so, I want to say this to you, he's so Christ-oriented. He really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kathy, I heard you start to ask a question.
Well, I'm just getting an intuitive hit because we're talking about the blue avians. There was a book that Ken Carey wrote, Carey, and it's called Return of the Bird Tribes. And I remember being so taken with it when it first came out. It's probably still in print, and for anybody that would love to take that on, It's the Return of the Bird Tribes. It was a fabulous, fabulous book, and he's a truly, deeply spiritual human being. So I don't even know if he's on the planet anymore, but it's Ken Carey, Return of the Bird Tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Kathy, you might want to take a look at Corey's website. I think it's called Blue Sphere Alliance. I think that's what it's called. And he's got an image of how these beings look, and I'm telling you, you could just feel the energy coming off the illustrations. These are loving beings here to help us. Really, really astounding stuff. And to block the negativity and to quarantine the energies that are not conducive to growth and full awareness and consciousness. And it's just beautiful. All these people, their stories seem to validate one another because everything is just hooking up and marrying together beautifully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what else would you like to share with us yet this evening here? We are about at the end of this hour. However, we have the next hour if we, and I know you may need to have to go to work tomorrow, but
the world of illusion.
We have the flexibility.
But if there's any other questions, I'll be happy to entertain any questions if people have any questions as they like to ask.
Okay. Well, if people would like to call in, they can call in on 888-429-5471. That's toll-free United States and Canada, 888-429-5471. And that's something that that we can do. As I say, we have the flexibility of going into the next hour if we have questions and if you want to do that. Sure. So.
Sure. It's interesting. One of the people that's coming forward with information right now is saying that some of these underground facilities are so huge. One of the caverns, he said, is the size of Texas.
Wow.
Hard to believe. And they said they could do anything there. They could build any kind of craft that they want. They could build anything there in complete secrecy. But of course, all the secrets are going to come to an end. They're all going to come to an end.
Yeah. You know, it's like a whole city under the cities.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And he said that a lot of the beings that live in the inner part of the planet, they want to keep themselves distant from the negative aspects of our society.
Yeah.
And they thank God they were able to stop us from, setting off any more nuclear devices, any hydrogen bombs or anything like that, because it was creating havoc in the inner earth, in the inner caverns. It's just really, really something. And the beings that are visiting us from other places, one of the stories that they had told is that they're in the process of going through graduation as well, but part of the graduation process is to help us to graduate. So we will graduate before they can graduate, so they want to make sure that we make our transition into this higher level of consciousness before they accept the responsibility of moving on to the next level of consciousness on our own behalf. So it's really, it's really beautiful. It's so unconditional love. It's just reflecting true unconditional love.
And isn't it interesting to think about how that feels and all of this, I guess, in contrast to the world we are currently living in. And it's like we need a place like this to share this and to do the upliftment and to give us hope and the joy of knowing that, you know, we are not alone. And we've been told that, but to have it really shared like you're doing with us is just a marvelous, just a gift. And we're all grateful to have that.
It's wonderful to have this opportunity to be able to share in an unbiased forum with people that are open-minded to hear it, because, you know, more and more people that have this mindset and have this acceptance that we're part of a grand design cosmic plan, the easier it's going to be. Colonel Ware said that a study was conducted of the 6.5 billion people that are on this planet. I think he said between 4.5 to 5 billion people were in acceptance of being given the disclosure that we're part of a cosmic family. And he said the ones that are not at that point yet, they're the ones that are trying to bring over. And, you know, a lot of them happen to be religious fundamentalists. It's the toughest ones to bring over.
So
and they want to do it with grace. They want to do it with grace and yes. They want to do it with grace and no prejudice, so that people will not think that it's the end of the world, or that, you know, the wrath of God has fallen upon them, because the beings that are coming here are not, they're not oriented towards that. They're here to help, you know, to be with us and to share with us.
And you know, I just feel like that would take an awful lot of finesse, Frank.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
If they can't do it, I don't know who could do it, Marietta. If they can't do it, I don't know who else could do it.
Right.
You know, some of these civilizations, some of these beings, their awareness levels are billions of years in excess of ours in awareness, and they've gotten beyond conflict a long, long time ago, and gotten beyond, you know, the emotional turmoil of, you know, me against him or him against her, or, you know, vice versa. I mean, we have to learn to put all that stuff away. And
Kathy, I think you started to ask a question there.
No, I was just, you know, centered my thinking on his reply, which is, if they can't do it, who can? Because we have these large sections of our humanity that come from that prehistoric, you know, old religious, deep cellular DNA, you know, I mean, it's going to take miraculous energies to move these many that are so stuck into that world. And I just feel that resistance somehow. And I'm not that person, but I definitely know how large a task that has to be.
Pray for them, because that percentage was much greater before. It's being whittled down and whittled down and whittled down.
Yeah.
Frank?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I was going to say, my understanding is that this could be done quite easily, simply because they are going to bring this really harmonious music of the spheres as they come in, and it's going to open their hearts, and they're not going to be thinking about Independence Day.
Oh, I like that, Tara.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It does.
Yes, and they're not going to be needing a whole lot of words. It's the resonance with the heart they're going to be tapping into, and it's going to change just like that. It's going to be just...
Yeah.
We've got Commander Randy on line 5, and I've also got an email from him. So, Don or Doug, can you connect us with Commander Randy, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Frank. I really enjoy your information. I'd like to know if you've had what's been happening with all the contactees I've been talking to lately is they're experiencing a lot of head pressure around the frontal areas of the brain, and then in the past few days it's been on the left-hand side. I'd like to know what Frank thinks what's happening.
I think that because of the frequencies being elevated and the intensity of the energy from the sun has been blasting us with incredible solar flares of increased energy, and we just have to learn to flow with it, Randy. Don't resist it. We need to allow ourselves to let go and just to flow with it. And I think it's when we provide resistance is when we get the downside of headaches and discomfort and things like that. But a lot of them are also saying too that they feel that they're going through rejuvenation. They feel like they're being made new from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because there's no need for illness. There's no need.
And the sun, the intensity of the light from the sun in some days is very, very high. But there's no heat.
I can imagine.
Just light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
We're moving into higher frequencies and finer frequencies, and the denseness of our bodies is being we're going through our own transition. You know, we're going through our own metamorphosis. You know, we're not going to be the heavy, dense bodies that we were. And, you know, as we uplift ourselves in this frequency change, it's going to make the appearance of our star friends easier for us to interact with and to communicate with.
Well, we thank you, Randy, for calling in. And we also have Big Will on line 2.
Good. Will, good evening.
Okay, excellent. Frank, I need to ask a question. Have you ever visited the Skinwalker Ranch with the gentleman's name is John Amos?
I have not, Will. I have not.
Okay. I find him very fascinating. I saw a interview with him, and it seems like he is being definitely visited by ETs there. He will be somebody that could come in and get some insights on what's really truly going on planet Earth.
Okay. Do you have a contact information for him, Will?
Yes, I do. I'll probably get in contact with you on that, and maybe perhaps you can get him on one of your radio shows and have an open discussion.
That's wonderful. I mean, more and more is coming to light every day, and it's like more people that have had star family are willing to come forward and talk about it because they feel that the prejudice has been reduced. talk openly about it. And yet, to some of their own family members, they can't even tell them who they are or what their life is about.
Well, I totally agree with that, too, as well. I do have another question, but this question is pertaining to Rama. Lord Rama, what is the status with the emails with Hillary, and when will all this be presented to the public?
Rama, are you there? Tara.
Okay, I'm sorry, but Rama was indisposed right now, so we're getting him down the stairs. Come on. Okay, can somebody reiterate the question? Was that Big Will there?
Now, Big Will, just state it again, please.
Okay, thank you, Melinda Robbins. My question is to Lord Rama. Lord Rama, what is the status with Hillary Clinton as far as the emails? When will this all come to light to the American people so that this will be exposed and, to end this charade with her going forward of pretending as if she's going to become president? Thank you.
Oh.
What I can say about this is the email story goes into a larger
arena. Yeah, there's it's beyond highest classification. It's beyond cosmic intelligence.
Yeah.
This is intergalactic warfare and playing with emails like that. And that's going to be,
yeah.
I'm just going to say, that's why I think Henry Kissinger's the one they're going to take all the way down.
Yeah,
and,
could be.
And the Clintons and the Kissingers have been spending every moment of their vacation time together for 25 years.
Yeah,
so they've been in cahoots with that at the top of the 13 families.
The Astors and the Collins are some of the most...
And the DuPonts and the Merovingians are the mixers.
Yeah, these are some of the very top bloodlines that are going down very fast.
And that it's like in that movie you're talking about, the V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
There's this one scene where they Vendetta just takes one domino and he pushes it and all the dominoes fall.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's in the process right now. So, and they will never give you an answer to that question when. You just got to know how. And the how of it is what we're sitting here doing with Frank.
Yeah.
And what we do with, Bibi, Judy Bibi and Omina. And every time we get together, we raise our vibration and become our ability to be the world bridgers between the dimensional intercourses in time travel. The first phase is done. Now we're becoming intergalactic travelers with no problem. And if we're having it, like Frank was said, don't give up. Work through it.
Right.
Okay. Well, Frank, what else do you want to share here while we still have you on the line? Is there anywhere else you'd really like to go this evening, or
I would like to impress the importance? I would like to also suggest that maybe Jacqueline would be interested in coming on board to Stargate Roundtable and sharing some of the information and experiences with her family.
Yes, I would love to talk with her. So if you want to send me that connection, I will make sure that happens.
She's such a joyful lady, and she is so dedicated to the work. And she's done some magnificent work with these star beings. And she said, Frank, everything is in preparation. Everything is in readiness. And never doubt that it's not going to happen. It's going to happen, and we're going to see it. This is why we're here. We're not here to play Mahjong.
Even in the physical world, the two of us are not very far apart. So that's exciting, too.
She said she had just come back from a, a conference in Prescott, or not Prescott, in Scottsdale, Arizona, and she was doing something with Barbara Lamb out there, and she said she made so many incredible network connections with people. And she said everybody's just radiating so much positivity that, you know, we're all going to see this fulfillment. We are going to see the fulfillment.
Well, we just had a guest on a couple weeks ago, Reverend John Polk, and he had just come back from this conference where all of these people that are connected with all the star beings and all of this, and he said there was, he talked so much about the people that were there, we didn't get into all the information that was shared with them, but that was a wonderful gathering, I guess, as well. So,
you know, some of these people are fairly bursting at the seams with so much joy and happiness in what's transpiring.
Right.
And it's a good feeling. It really is. So whenever you see negativity in the news or hear of negative things happening, you know, just be aware of it. But don't let it break your focus or concentration on, you know, where we're heading. We're heading in a much better direction than we've been in the past.
Wise words.
Well, we are so grateful that you've given us all this time to share all of this, and know that you're welcome anytime. And give me a call if you get the nudge that it's time to do something. You don't have to wait for me to call you.
I'll send you the footage too on that butterfly craft, and you could send it around to your folks. Let them see it. It's a beautiful, beautiful craft. My God. It just makes your heart leap in joy of seeing it. It's just so wonderful to see this.
Well, we are.
Makes you wonder what's yet to come. It's beyond imagination what is yet to come.
Well, thank you
for this opportunity to share tonight. And I send love and blessings to every one of you, and be all that you are. And, you know, don't be afraid of acknowledging that your higher self is on a level of a God being, because we're all God beings. We just, you know, accept your mantle of your truth and flow with it.
Well, thank you so much. We are so grateful and appreciative of the time that you give us, and what all you always bring, such fascinating people and information. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll look forward to having you back another time.
Thank you. Onward and upward. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Namaste.
Well, we will close this call out for tonight, or this show out for tonight. It's been a wonderful experience having Frank on to share what's going on beyond all of the political stuff that is out there, to realize to stay in a much higher space, where we started out with that, with Angel Sue and with Rainbird, and it's like it is helping us to stay focused on all of the maybe the more uplifting ideas and thoughts. And I have noticed that in this last week, even for myself, it's like things are moving forward that seem to have been stuck for quite a long time, and it does seem like there's movement. So we're really we're grateful for all of the love and assistance from all the beings of light, and that will be a focus for us for quite some time here. So anyone who has other people you'd like to have on the show, please send me an email, stargatemarita@gmail.com, and we will try to connect with them. So bless all of you on your way as we conclude this day. And we ask the station to put on some music to close us out for tonight. Good night, all.